And it's nice to see everybody this morning. And thank you for joining me on Zoom or Zoom only. We left off last time, I believe, about to start the Gemara of Birchas HaTorah on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. We had spoken until this point about the question of Hirhur Kedibur, whether or not thinking Kriya Shema, thinking Brachos, thinking whatever you might be thinking of Doron Shebetusha, is the equivalent of speaking. I wanted to just fill in one question that Marshall asked me towards the end. We spoke about interrupting one Shemone Esrei to quietly listen to Kedusha because you're not allowed to interrupt. And the question was, that to be shown and discussed, is Hirhur, if Hirhur is really Kedibur, if that's what you're doing, then what's the difference between saying Kedusha and just thinking the words while the Chassan says it and you're quiet? But we discussed that. But the question I mentioned, that when you're finished Shemone Esrei, you finish the Amida, if you say Yihyu L'Ratzon Im Reifi, which is the last words of the Amida, that's really part of the Amida, so then you can answer Dvarim Shebikdusha. And therefore it's advisable to say, as soon as you finish Hamvarech Sama Yisra B'Shalom, say Yihyu L'Ratzon Im Reifi immediately, before you even start Elokai Nitzor, and then if you're behind the Chazan, you can answer Kedusha. So the question was asked about Yalav Yavo, to get Yalav Yavo in the Amida. So you're allowed, normally, you can add in Yalav Yavo, you can go back, I should say. You can go back to Ritzei without having to repeat the entire Amida if you haven't been Oker Rak Lecha, if you haven't uprooted your feet. So the question that was raised is if you said Yihyu L'Ratzon, which normally would be the moment before you take three steps back, what happens if you say Yihyu L'Ratzon right after Hamavarech Sama Yisra B'Shalom, and you're still going to say Elokai Nitzor and whatever else you want after Tefillah? So I checked in Orach Chaim, in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh, in Siman Tav Chaf Beis, I believe, the Mishkan Berurah writes explicitly that even though you've said Yihyu L'Ratzon, since you're still engaged in Tachanunim, your Shmon Esrei, your Amida is not over, so you can go back to it, say you don't have to repeat the entire Amida, despite the fact that you can, at that point, interrupt to say Dvarim Shebikdusha. So that's what I thought it was the case last week that I checked, and Marshall, that in fact is the case. So we finished talking about, at least for now, and we are mostly finished about Hirhur Kedibur, and we paskin Hirhur Lav Kedibur Dami. The Gemara now is going to come back. We're going to come back to the topic very briefly, our mission in a moment. But in the meantime, the Gemara says the following on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, about 7 or 8 lines down at the two dots. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Minayin lebirchas hamazon la'acharei min haTorah, Shenemar v'yachalto v'tzavata uveirachto. How do you know that there's a Torah obligation to make a bracha, to make what we call birchas hamazon afterwards? The answer is, it's a pasuk v'yachalto v'tzavata, if you eat, and you're sated, then you have to make a bracha to give shevach to the Ribbono Shalom for having provided us this food or allowing us to get this food. So the Gemara says we know that you have birchas hamazon la'achareha, and then we also know minayin lebirchas haTorah l'chanea min haTorah. How do you know that there is a mitzvah min haTorah of making a birchas haTorah before you study Torah, before you read from Torah? The Gemara says, Shenemar kishem Hashem ekra, havugoda lelokeinu. The pasuk in Parshas Ha'azinu, which ironically, I would note, if this is really a mitzvah doraisa of birchas haTorah, so contrary to those who study the Sefer HaChinuch, who all know that the last parsha in the Torah that has a mitzvah, it's Parshas Vayelech, the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. So if, in fact, you take this Gemara literally, then, in fact, the last mitzvah in the Torah is not the mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, but the mitzvah of Birkas HaTorah, found, again, in Parshas Hazin. So those are two things that we start with a given, that Rabbi Yehuda quotes in the name of, I'm sorry, Rav, not Shmuel, that is a mitzvah Asay min haTorah to make birchas hamazon, and that there is a mitzvah asay min haTorah to make birchas haTorah. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Lamanu birchas haTorah l'charea min birchas hamazon mikav haChomer. Rabbi Yochanan says that you can learn the obligation of birchas haTorah after learning Torah, which really is limited to tzibur. When you make a bracha on Kriyas HaTorah, you make a bracha before and you make a bracha afterwards. So Rabbi Yochanan here wants to argue that you can derive the obligation of making Birchas HaTorah after reading from the Torah from the obligation of Birkas HaMazon, the bracha that you make after eating food. It's a Kal v'chomer, and the reverse is true as well. Well, Birkas HaMazon lefanea, you can learn the obligation of making a bracha on food, on bread, before you eat it, mikal v'chomer as well. So the Gemara explains what is the Kal v'chomer? So the Gemara says, Birkas HaTorah la'achareha min Birkas HaMazon. The first one we're going to learn is the obligation of making a bracha after reading from the Torah, from the fact that you have to make a bracha after eating food. Uma Torah she'ena tura la'achareha, I'm sorry, I have to skip a line. Uma mazon she'en tal mefanav, tal la'achareha, Torah she'tuna lefaneha, eno din she'tuna la'achareha. So the first Kal v'chomer, the Gemara in a vacuum, would be perhaps, I don't want to say intuitive, but reasonable, which is that if food requires a bracha afterwards, but it doesn't require a bracha before, so Birchas HaTorah, which requires a bracha before, certainly should require a bracha afterwards. Now, the problem with this Kal v'chomer, and eventually the Gemara is going to reject it anyway, is that what is the criteria on which you assume that it is more likely that you have to make a bracha after something than before something? In other words, I have two brachas right now. I have a source in the Torah to making a Birchas HaTorah before. I have a source in the Torah making a Birchas HaMazon afterwards. The Gemara is assuming at this stage that it is more logical to require a bracha after something than before something. And the proof is, Birchas HaMazon. So the Torah explicitly stipulates a bracha afterwards, but never mentions any bracha before. So at this stage, the Gemara wants to say, look, if Birchas HaMazon doesn't require a bracha, Torah doesn't mention a bracha before, but it mentions a bracha afterwards, so by Birchas HaTorah, where there's a bracha before, certainly you should have to make a bracha afterwards. But the question is, as you realize immediately, and Rabbi Yochanan is going to turn around anyway and do this, you could have made the argument in the opposite direction, which is, from the fact that Birchas HaTorah requires a bracha before, but the Torah never mentions one afterwards, maybe it's more intuitive that you require a bracha on things before them than you do after them. And in fact, Rabbi Yochanan then says, "Ubirchas HaMazon lefaneha min bracha Birchas HaTorah mikal v'chomer." You can learn a kal v'chomer that you need to make a bracha, like a hamotzi, before you eat food min HaTorah, on a kal v'chomer based upon Birchas HaTorah, which is that if Birchas HaTorah is not tuna lachareha, it's tuna lefaneha. Birchas HaTorah, the Torah never mentions the bracha afterwards, but it mentions the bracha before. So you see that it is more likely you should need to make a bracha before something. So then if the Torah tells you you're supposed to make a bracha after eating food, it's a kal v'chomer, you have to make a bracha before eating the food. So the problem with these, the Gemara is going to reject the kal v'chomer anyway. But in a certain sense, the Gemara, there's a sort of an inherent problem in making both Kal v'chomers. You can really only make one or the other. You can't first insist that it's more likely you need to make a bracha after things than before things, and learn that if you have to make a Birchas HaTorah before, certainly you have to make a Birchas afterwards. Then turn around and say it's more likely you have to make a bracha before things than after things. And therefore, if you have to already make a Birchas HaMazon after eating food, and certainly you should have to make a bracha on mazon before eating food. So in that sense, even though the Gemara is going to reject it, you might sort of step back and say, these two things don't add up. It's got to be one or the other. But it's immaterial, that question, because the Gemara says, ikal mifrach. Now, you can have a pircha. Both kal v'chomers don't necessarily work. Number one, mam l'mazon shekei nene. Maybe birchas hamazon requires a bracha afterwards because you've gotten a certain kind of hana, and that demands that you make a bracha and give thanks to God. Whereas before you eat the food, there's nothing to thank God for. I mean, the food is very nice in the plate, but it doesn't do me any good until it's in my stomach. So maybe Birchas HaMazon makes sense to make afterwards, but not before, because once you've enjoyed it, now you have to give thanks. But that doesn't tell you anything about Birchas HaTorah. maybe Birchas HaTorah. I mean, I'd like to think that everybody walks out of my shiur with a feeling of, oh, that was so good. That such hanah is better than, you know, a good, tender filet mignon and French fries. It's better than that. But the reality is we all understand that even if one's neshama is nemet, it's a different experience. It's better in some ways and it's not the same in other ways, as eating food. So maybe Birchas HaMazon makes sense to make the bracha only afterwards, after you've really experienced that physical pleasure. That doesn't make sense by Birchas HaTorah. You can't assume that because by Birchas HaMazon the Torah tells you the bracha afterwards, that therefore it's automatically more likely to make the bracha after things, and therefore it's more likely to have to make the bracha after reading from the Torah, because it's not the same hanah. And then, Malatuma. Yeah.
So one question. Every child learns that we make a bracha because everything belongs to Hashem, and we're asking permission to take it. Here in the Torah is given to us. We don't need to ask a bracha before the Torah because it's clearly given to Bnei Adam.
So I think you've just answered the question. I'll tell you why you make the Birchas HaTorah before studying Torah. Because we've already been given the Torah, and that is enough to have to give thanks to the Ribono Shel, right, for this incredible gift, right? The Torah, I could disagree with your formulation, but I'll accept it just for the moment and say that, what do you mean? It's an incredible gift, even before we've actually studied Torah, simply having this remarkable thing is, you know, incredible. And one might even say that because we know some Torah, even though we're going to study more Torah, we're already getting hana. No matter how good steak tastes, you wouldn't say, I look at the steak and, oh, I feel so good just looking at the steak. But knowing that what I've learned in Torah is going to learn Torah, I already may have that incredible sense of pleasure now. So the Gemara continues and says, Uma l'tora shekein chaye olam. In addition, the Torah is eternal life, so maybe, either because you already have that sense of gratitude, the way to take Ram's approach, or you could say that in order to partake in something, so to partake in food before you've made a bracha, okay, food is nice and it's important, but it's one thing. But before we partake in Torah, before we enter to study Torah, the idea that we don't acknowledge Ribono Shalom and the most incredible gift that he's given us, maybe that's why Birchas HaTorah requires a bracha before. And I might sort of add one little comment in that and why that is, which is there's a Gemara Nedarim that says, why is it common that the children of Talmidei Chachamim aren't Talmidei Chachamim? Gemara asks that question. Why is that very common? And the answer, one answer the Gemara gives is that Neisha'im Mevarchim Batorah Tchila, because they don't make a Birchas HaTorah before. So what does that mean? Is it an Aveira and therefore you're punished? So the answer is no. When you say that someone is not Mevarech Birchas HaTorah before, it means they don't appreciate what Torah is, right? The study of calculus and the study of physics and the study of music are inspiring and they're wonderful and they enhance our human experience. But we do recognize there's a difference between studying calculus and studying physics and studying Torah. And a person who doesn't make a Birchas HaTorah before studying Torah means that they don't really fully grasp it. And that's why their children aren't Talmidei Chachamim, because they don't sense that this is such a central activity. So the idea that you're not going, that because Torah is Chayei Olam, the idea that before you start even studying Torah, you don't acknowledge what it is, so that's deeply problematic. And maybe that's why Birchas HaTorah requires a bracha before even start. But that wouldn't be true for a Muslim. So the Gemara rejects the extension of Birchas HaTorah min HaTorah from before, where we have a pasuk to afterwards, and Birchas HaMazon min HaTorah afterwards, where we have a pasuk to before, because it's a bit, each is a bad kavachomer. But then the Gemara adds one more detail, which will explain to you why this is here. The ode, Tanan al HaMazon mevarech ach la'achara ve'inam mevarech lefana, tiyufta. Now, the breaking of the kavachomer is not a total rejection. In other words, we're arguing you haven't really proven your point yet. But this last line, when the Gemara invokes the Mishnah, says, QED, you're totally wrong. Why are you totally wrong? Because you claimed that Birchas HaMazon before the food could be learned in a Kal V'Chomer from Birchas HaMazon afterwards. And therefore, it would be Minat Torah as well. And I can prove to you that Birchas HaMazon before, the Birchas HaNenin, is not Minat Torah. What's the proof? Because our Mishnah says that a Balkeri is Mevarech Birchas HaMazon, but he is not La'acharav, but he's not Mevarech Lafanav. So however he says Birchas HaMazon, and we discussed this question last time, does it mean he's Maharher, he thinks it, does it mean he says it? Either way, you don't do that for Birchas HaMazon before. And therefore you see that whereas Birchas HaMazon after the food is Daraisa, Birchas HaMazon before the food is only the Rabbanan, and hence you, Rabbi Yochanan, are wrong. Forget whatever the logic is, the Mishnah says that you are wrong. Okay. So now, the Gemara leaves in place, it would seem, that there is an obligation of Birchas HaMazon Midaraisa afterwards. I don't think that point is disputed. And then the Gemara also has taught us something novel, which maybe many of us didn't know until learning this Gemara, that Birchas HaTorah made is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Now, is this correct, in fact? So, I'm going to share my screen. These were the printed makoros, the printed sources from last time. So I'm going to just put them up on the screen as soon as I find them. There we go. Okay. So let me make this just a little bigger if I can. Okay, so can everybody see the screen? Thumbs up will do. You can see, okay, good.
Yeah, see it.
Okay, so the Ramban, and I think we've probably encountered this Sefer the Ramban before, the Ramban, at the end of the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, so the Ramban along the way issues his critiques and his dissents from the Rambam when the Rambam counted certain things as mitzvos. At the end of the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban counts the mitzvahs that he believes that the Rambam forgot to count. You have a section after mitzvahs asay, the positive commandments, and a section after the negative commandments, the mitzvahs los asay. So here, I quote you from the Ramban, mitzvah number 15, that he thinks the Rambam forgot to enumerate in his Sefer HaMitzvos. He writes, Mitzvah Tesvah, the 15th mitzvah, is shenitzavinu lahodos l'shmo yisparach b'chol eishenikra b'Torah, that we need to give thanks to God any time we read in Torah, al hatova hagedola she'asalanu, over the wonderful thing that God did for us, v'sito Torah so eilenu, when he gave us his Torah, v'hodienu hamasim haritsuyim lefana. And in doing so, he informed us of those things that are pleasing before him, things that God, that are correct in God's eyes, shebahem ninchal chaye olam haba, through which we will merit eternal life. V'cha'asher nitzavinu bebracha achar kol ha'achila, just as we have a bracha after birchas hamazon, after eating, kein nitzavinu bazeh. So we also have a mitzvah of making a bracha in the Torah before. And now he quotes our Gemara, "Ubishlishi shel brachos amru minayin lebirchas haTorah lefanam in haTorah shenemar kishem Hashem ekra havu godel leelokenu." So that was our Gemara that learned the obligation of making a bracha before studying Torah from the verse in Parshas Hazin. Veratzalumo bebirchas hamazon lefanav shem in haTorah bekavachomer mizeh. The Gemara wanted to learn a bracha before food from a kavachomer, and they said, Amru uma Torah sheina tuna bracha chareh tuna lefaneha mazon shetam laachor v'enon din shetam lefana. So that was the attempted kal v'chomer of Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara, and in the Ramban says the Gemara rejected it. The Hishiva walzemi derech hapirchos, they responded and rejected it following the normal method of what's called a pircha, a question against the kal v'chomer, a breaking of the kal v'chomer. Malu Torah shekein chaye olam. No, perhaps Torah requires a bracha before, but food wouldn't because Torah is eternal life. and then Ba'ud, and then he quotes the Gemara second rejection. And now the Ramban explains, the Chefsam Bazeh, what the Gemara means in its last proof, is Shekevon Shebalkeri Enu Mavarech Lafana B'mazon, V'hu Mavarech L'acharef, and the fact that a Balkeri doesn't make a bracha before eating food, but only makes a bracha afterwards, Nilmod Shebracha L'acharef Bilvad Hi Min HaTorah, that only Birchas HaMazon after food is Min HaTorah, U'lefikach Ena B'teila Meitakanasam B'tfila, therefore, it is not overridden by Ezra's rabbinic takana that a Balkari shouldn't recite words of Kedusha. Obviously, you can see that it was indeed a bad Kal v'chomer. Now the Rabban says, V'ho'le mizo, shebirchas ha-Torah lefaneha, mitzvos asei de'oraisa. You see from our Gemara, and this is a point that the Gemara never rejected, that birchas ha-Torah before is in fact a Torah obligation. And then he says, "Ubi Gemara de Bnei Marava in the Yerushalmi Omru Kasev baTorah bracha lefaneha ve'en Kasev ba bracha achareha." The Yerushalmi says that in the Torah mentions a bracha before reading Torah, before studying Torah, but not afterwards. Ma Kasev ba lefaneha ki Shem Hashem Ekrah v'Godol l'Tein. You have that pasuk that our Gemara quoted, and then the same thing for birchas ha-Mazon. The Yerushalmi says the exact same thing with the Babli. So now the Ramban continues. Michlal zeh misbaer shahabracha hazom in haTorah. V'ein ra'oi limnosa mitzvah achas im hakriya kimo shemikra bikurim eino nimna achas im hava asan. You shouldn't say, now here the Ramban is providing the Ramban with a possible out and smashing it immediately. You might have said, you know why the Ramban doesn't count the mitzvahs asay of birchas haTorah, even though it's min haTorah, because it's part of the mitzvah of kriya baTorah. So the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of kriya haTorah, so there's a mitzvah to study Torah, and there's a mitzvah to make a bracha along with it. It's all part of the same mitzvah. So the Ramban says that's not true. Because mikra bikurim, reading the parsha of bikurim, giving God thanks for having brought us to Eretz Yisrael, having given us this food, is not counted eino nimna achas im hava asam. There are two mitzvahs. One is bringing the Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. And the second is reading the Parsha Bikurim. So the mitzvah of doing and the mitzvah of talking about it are not the same. And then, V'sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim im Achilas Pesach. We don't count the mitzvah of Magid at night as one mitzvah along with eating the Pesach. And therefore, the Ramban says, that you see that when you have a mitzvah of dibur min haTorah, a mitzvah of speaking of sort of the lines that you recite with something, and the mitzvah of doing, the Ramban says those are counted as two separate mitzvahs, as the Rambam himself thought. I just, before going on to talk about what the Rambam's response might be, so the Ramban has seemingly foreclosed one avenue for the Rambam. There are two things that I want to observe about this. Number one, I understand the Ramban's proof from Mikra Bikurim and bringing the Bikurim, right? Here you have a mitzvah of Kriya, of reading the Parsha of Arami Oved Avi when you bring the Bikurim, and it's done in conjunction with the Bikurim, and yet you count two separate mitzvahs. One is the mitzvah of reading the Parsha, the other is the mitzvah of bringing the Bikurim. Understood. But what is this business of Sipu Yitzias Mitzrayim Imachilas HaPesach? At first glance, that seems very, very strange. After all, why would you assume that Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, talking about how God redeemed us from Egypt, that's not a mitzvah of Vibor that's talking about the Karban Pesach. So why would you think that they, even if the Rambam were to say, that the mitzvah of Kriya Satorah and the mitzvah of making a bracha on that Kriya Satorah were one mitzvah, why, you wouldn't expect the Rambam to say that telling over the story in the Haggadah and eating the Karban Pesach would be one mitzvah. So I think that to understand that line in the Ramban, you have to remember what exactly, what we say in our Haggadah, which is, Kol Shelo Amar Shlosha Dvarim Elu Ba Pesach, Lo Yotza Yedei Chavasa. And what are they? Pesach, Mas, and Morar. And then we go on to explain why we eat Pesach, why we eat matzah, and why we eat maror. So I want to ask you a question. When we say kol shelo amar shlosha dvar me'elu ba'pesach, lo yotze yedei chovasa, if you don't say these three things, Pesach, matzah, maror, and explain why we're eating them, you do not fulfill your obligation. I have a question to ask you. What obligation is that? What obligation, what mitzvah do you not fulfill if you don't explain why we eat Pesach, explain why we eat matzah, explain why we eat maror? What would you say? Somebody has to have an opinion.
So, yes, I have an opinion.
Rabbi Luxing.
Right, but it's not mine. I heard the Rav say it any number of times. You're not yotze the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim if you don't understand Pesach, matzah, or maror.
Okay.
It's not that you're not yotze those three mitzvahs. You are yotze those three mitzvahs, but you're not yotze the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Okay. So that is the interpretation that most Rishonim give. Almost all the Rishonim give that interpretation. That's the standard way of understanding it. That the mitzvah of Pesach is not only talking about stories, but also talking about the mitzvot and their connection to the night. And in fact, I always like to say that Rabban Gamliel, who's the author of that Mishnah, was the quintessential Litvak, and Rabbi Akiva was the Chassid. Because if you look in our Haggadah, there's a passage that talks about five great sages spending all night talking about Tzipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, or Hayu Misap Yetzias Mitzrayim, Achabo Tamideim Va'amu Lahem Rabbeinu Higias Mas Kriyas Rosh Hashachar. So what were they doing all night? They were storytelling. They were Misap Yetzias Mitzrayim. That passage in the Haggadah, to the best of my knowledge, is not found anywhere else in rabbinic literature. We only know it from the Haggadah. But there's a very similar passage found in the Tosefta in the last chapter of Psachim, which tells a slightly different version of the story. It wasn't Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Tarfon and whoever I forgot, Rabbi Lassam and Azaria. It wasn't them. It was Rabban Gamliel and the Zakenim were sitting all night and studying Hilchos Pesach. Right? They were the Litvaks. They weren't telling stories. They were studying the laws of Pesach all night. In fact,
the same as Rav Soloveitchik used to do at his Seder.
Yes, the Kamei Minog today, Rav Shechter has noted this, and I don't know if he quoted this in the Rav. People like to stay up Shavuot night. But if you really want to stay up at night, one night of the year, learning the entire night, the proper night to do it is Leil Pesach, not Leil Shavuot. I mean, Leil Shavuot is nice. I'm not knocking it. But the real Ikar is to stay up at least the first night of Pesach to study either Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim or Hilchos HaPesach. But what you see from that version in the Tosefta, Rabban Gamliel saw that studying the halachos and talking about their connection to the Chag is an ikar, is a primary part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of the Haggadah, and that's how Rabbi Luxtein quoted the Rav explaining, and that's how most Rishonim explain Pesach Matzah Maror. However, I believe this Ramban reflects a different interpretation, which I believe is cited in the name of the Ramban. I don't know what the source is unless it's this, which is the Ramban says no, that if you do not recite why you're eating the Karban Pesach, or why you're eating the matzah, or why you're eating the maror, you do not fulfill that mitzvah of eating the Pesach, or eating the matzah, or eating the maror, bishleimusa. It's not a complete fulfillment of the mitzvah. In other words, eating Pesach without talking about why you're eating the Pesach, you don't fulfill the mitzvah completely. If you want, by the way, an analog to that, the Bach, the Bais Chadash, in the Lord of Sukkah, claims
sukkah.
That if you sit in the sukkah and you don't know why you're sitting in the sukkah, you don't know that it's l'man ye'de'uda roseichem, you do not fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah. We don't paskin that way. We say, b'di'evet, even if you don't think about why you're sitting in the sukkah, you still fulfill the mitzvah. But sometimes we have mitzvahs, and we have these positions, that if you don't talk about or don't think about why you're doing that mitzvah, you don't fulfill the mitzvah at all. You don't fulfill the mitzvah in its entirety properly, and so on. I believe if you look at this line in the Ramban, it would suggest this latter interpretation that I'm quoting. Because if you say that the mitzvah of talking about why you eat Pesach, why you eat matzah, why you eat maror, is just a din in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, so then why would I think that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim Haggadah and eating the Pesach should in fact be counted as one mitzvah? They're two totally unrelated things. But if you believe that in order to fulfill the mitzvah achilas Pesach properly, you also need to talk about why you're eating the Karban Pesach, that's the Sipur, So then I understand the Ramban's position a little bit better. In other words, just as the Kriya Satorah, Birchas Satorah is essential to do Kriya Satorah afterwards, and just as you know, Mikra Bikurim is supposed to accompany the Abbas Bikurim, so too Yitzipur Yitzis Mitzrayim is supposed to accompany the Achilas HaPesach. Anyway, be that as it may, so that's one observation just about what I think the Ramban is just assuming when he sort of heads off this answer at the pass. He doesn't accept this answer for the Rambam. I do want to sort of lodge one objection in defense of the Rambam, but I don't think this is what the Rambam is thinking anyway, which is to compare Bikurim and Kriya Satorah. The reason I think why Bikurim, reading the Parsha and bringing the Bikurim, are considered two separate mitzvos is because you can have one ideally without the other. If you are, for example, a ger who owns land in Eretz Yisrael, you have a mitzvah to bring Bikurim, but you're not allowed to read the Parsha. Because when you say, you know, Avosenu, it's not technically true for a ger. Or there are various situations, if you learn the Mishnayos and Bikurim, where the Mishnah says these people or these situations, Mevian Velo Korim. You bring Bikurim, but you can't read the Parsha. So since, in theory, you have situations where you only do one and not the other, you know, as the Ikar Hadin, as the real halacha, so that may be why you count them as two separate mitzvahs. But Birchas HaTorah and the study of Torah are can't be disentangled. You need one. You can't, and we've spoken about this, but in principle, if you're not going to study Torah, you shouldn't make Birchas HaTorah, it would seem. And if you're not, and if you haven't made Birchas HaTorah, you're not allowed to study Torah. So it's not, the Rambam, if in fact what he thought, that Birchas HaTorah was Min HaTorah, he might have been justified as counting it as part of the mitzvah, Talmud Torah, as one mitzvah. But I don't actually think that's what the Rambam says. Now, before we get to the Rambam, I want to show you the Megillat Esther. The Megillat Esther was a commentary written, I think, in the 15th century, something like that, defending the Rambam from the attacks of the Ramban. Here he writes, Nira li ki divrei haramban sot kim bezeh hamakom. Quite an admission. He says, I think the Ramban is correct here. Velo yadati lama lo mena'a harav. I don't know why the Rambam didn't count it. Im lo choshav shemidrosham bezeh hapasaku al derech asmach abilvad. Unless the Rambam thought that the Gemara's derivation of Birchas HaTorah from the pasuk Kishem Hashem Ekra Havugoda Lelokeinu was an asmachta, that it wasn't a real drusha, a real interpretation in a Torah, but it was just what we call an asmachta, a rabbinic law which they kind of hang on pasuk. So unless that's what he thought, but amnam alav lahavi raya, the Rambam would have to prove, you'd have expected to prove it being asmachta. Now, I think that the Megillas Esther is probably correct in that the Rambam regarded the pasuk, the verse of Kishem Hashem Ekra, that both our Gemara and the Yerushalmi quote, the Rambam probably regarded it as an asmachta. Now, how did he know it was an asmachta? I suspect that the answer is because it sounds like an asmachta. It really does. Moshe Rabbeinu, if I were to take Moshe Rabbeinu's pasuk and to derive a Torah law for it, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godo Lenokenu, I more likely would have derived a practice that we imitate that was done in the Beis HaMikdash, which is whenever the Kohen Gadol would mention the ineffable name, the Shem HaMeforash, everybody would bow down and say, Baruch Shem Kod Machusto L'Olam Boed. Right? And we imitate that in our liturgy on Yom Kippur in the Avodah. So there, that's how I would have read this pasuk. Kishem Hashem Ekra. Moshe says, when I call God's name, Havu Godo Lelokenu. That's how I would have interpreted it. But to say that Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I want to study God's Torah, Havu Godo Lelokenu, then you should give thanks to God, praise God. That does kind of sound like an asmachta. It doesn't sound like what the pasuk is really talking about. You know, it also happens to be, it's in the middle of poetry. It's in the middle of a shira, Moshe's last great song. So it's not that, it's a strange place to sort of put a halacha if it's really a halacha. So despite the fact that the Gemara says that we learn Birchas HaTorah min HaTorah, we learn the obligation of Birchas HaTorah min HaTorah, and they quote the pasuk, the Rambam might have thought it was an asmach. Now, the question then, of course, is how did the Rambam understand Birchas HaTorah? He clearly doesn't understand that, almost certainly doesn't understand it's a Torah obligation. He doesn't count it in the Minyan Mitzvah, nor in Mishneh Torah does he ever suggest that it, in fact, it is scriptural. In fact, what is interesting, which I do believe supports the Ramban's comment, that the Rambam doesn't count Birchas HaTorah as a part of the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, is based upon where in the Mishneh Torah the Rambam cites the mitzvah or the details of Birchas HaTorah. And I'll ask you a question. If the Rambam regarded the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah as part of the commandment of Talmud Torah, studying Torah, where should he have spoken about Birchas HaTorah?
Hilchos Talmud Torah.
That's where I would have put it, David. Absolutely. But he doesn't. He puts it in Hilchos Tefillah. And if you take a look at how the Rambam presents it, the Rambam says, Kishetitnu chachamim divrei tefilos elu, when they instituted tefillah, the Amidah, which he's been done dealing with, titnu brachos acheros levarech osan b'choyom, elu hein. They instituted other brachos. Kishikones adam lemitasa lishem balayla, when you go to sleep at night, you make the bracha of hamapil chavlei shena. Then, a couple of halachos later, he says, b'sha she yikat, b'so shnasam avareth luhami pastokach. When you wake up in the morning, before you do anything, now we don't do it this way, we generally put all our brachos together later. The Rambam mentions such a practice, but the Rambam says that when you're lying in bed, you wake up, your alarm shakes you out of sleep, and you wake up alive in the morning, Elokai neshama shenasatabi, tahorahi, etc. That's the first thing you say? And then Dalit, kishishomea, the idea, by the way, of saying moda'ani, is kind of like this, but I don't know when the idea of moda'ani originates from. It's not in the Rambam, it's not in Gemara, it's not even mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch itself. But anyway, moda'ani is sort of the same idea of elokai neshama shenasatabi, and so on. So the first thing you do, you're lying in bed, and you say elokai neshama shenasatabi. You thank God for restoring your soul. And then in halacha dalet, kishomea kol atarnagolim, when you hear the roosters crowing, mevarech, hanosein lasefchi vina lahavchem eyom meilayla. When you put on your clothing, you make the bracha malbisha rumim. When you put your cap on, you say oter yisrael b'sefara. Right? When you put your hand against your eyes, you say hamavir shena meinai stumei hafai, and you continue. Kishayeshev al mitaso, you say zokeis kefufim. When you sit up in bed. When you put your legs down on the earth and you put on solid earth, you say the bracha of rokar etalamayim. Kisha omed, you say hamechem mitzadei gaver. Kisha notal yadav, you say al matilas yadayim. Kisha roches panav, I don't remember what rechitas panav, what you say after that. But bottom line is all these mitzvos. Kisha choger chagora, when you put on your belt, you say ozei yisrael begvura. Kisha lobesh naalav, you say shasali kol tarki. I don't remember if that's Tzila Saderach. I don't remember what it is. And then the Rambam says in that very same halacha, as part of your Seder Hayom, the things that a Torah Jew does as they get up going throughout their day, then you say the brachas of Shalom Asani Goy, Shalom Asani Isha, Shalom Asani Ale. And then the Rambam says, Hamashkim Likro Batorah. Halacha Yud, several halachas later, you get up and you're going to study Torah, Kodem Sheikra Kriyashma, before you read Kriyat Shema, because if you're not going to learn until after you read Kriyat Shema, you'll fulfill the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah with Ava Rabba. But if you're not, you want to learn earlier. So you're not going to read Ava Rabba yet. So then, Bein Kar B'Torah Shebichtav, Bein Kar B'Torah Shvapah, you want to study Tanakh, you want to study Shas, Notel Yadav Tchila Umavarish Halash Brachos Achakach Korei, and the Rambam goes on to list the Birchas HaTorah. So the way the Rambam presents the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah, these brachos, really not as part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but almost as the Seder Hayom. In the Seder Hayom, you in effect give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for his gift of giving us the Torah. Most people, those who don't learn before davening, will in fact say that Ava Rabba, but if you're going to learn before, it's not appropriate to learn before at least giving that Shevach. All the things that you do in the day, before you put your feet on the ground, you thank God for giving us solid ground, Rakara Talamayim. And before you put on your belt, you say, Ozei Sabagura, etc., etc. So once you're going to partake in Torah, before you've said Ava Rabba, so you make the Birchas HaTorah. So that's how the Rambam understands it, but it's really part of the Seder Hayom. I would say it's a Berachas HaShavah. It's thanking the Rabbon Shalom. It's not a Berachas HaMitzvah. Rabbi Lichtstein.
It looks like it's part of Seder Hayom. How do you square this with the way the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos presents the idea of Birchos Mitzvah, where he says, Kishem Shemavorech al Ha'achila, I'm not quoting exactly right word, but I know that he uses the word Kishem, Kach Mavorech al Kol Mitzvah o Mitzvah Kodem Asiyosa. And since Kriyas HaTorah is the mitzvah, perhaps the mitzvah of mitzvos, it looks like it's not just the Seder Hayom for Birchas HaTorah, because, I mean, I don't know how to square this piece of Rambam. It may be the order of what you're doing, but it serves another purpose different from Rokah Ha'oras al Hamoyim or Hanose Lasech Vimino, you know, and so on.
So I think it is possible it serves a dual purpose, but keep in mind that probably in the Ikar HaDin, one isn't required to study Torah. I said earlier that one is Yotze with Ava Rabba. And that is true to a great extent. It's a question of whether Kriya Shema suffices as your Talmud Torah afterwards, whether you have to, because there's a line I think in the Yerushalmi that you have to learn immediately afterwards. If you learn right after davening, they finish the Shir Shoyon, the last Kaddish, and you sit down to learn, you know, learn Chumash, to learn to do Shnai Mikra, to learn to do Daf Yomi, so then you don't make Birchas HaTorah and you will not need to make it that day. But our practice anyway, despite that, is we make Birchas HaTorah before we start davening. Now, it's, I think, clear, certainly from the Balei HaTosfos, that even if we didn't say Psukim afterwards, even if we didn't learn immediately afterwards, you still wouldn't have to make Birchas HaTorah later. That would still technically be okay. So certainly for that position, we might say that before you study Torah, you're obligated to make Birchas HaTorah, but you can make Birchas HaTorah without studying Torah. So one could argue that Birchas HaTorah is, the way the Rambam presents it here in Hilchos Tefillah, primarily a Birchas HaShavah, but it also serves as a matir for the mitzvah Talmud Torah. Perhaps. The Rambam might have considered Talmud Torah as sort of sui generis, different than the other mitzvahs, because I don't think he mentions it specifically in the other context.
No.
But it could be a dual purpose bracha. I think we can't rule that out. Okay. Isaac?
Yeah. I remember looking at the Megillah Sester many, many years ago, a couple of decades ago, and he mentioned that the Rambam doesn't mention certain things as being a mitzvah because it's a given, because everybody knows it and it's accepted, so he doesn't feel a need to mention it. And I believe specifically, this, I could be wrong, it talks about living in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam doesn't mention that as a mitzvah. And I may be wrong, but the Megillah Sester says, because some things he doesn't mention because it's a given.
I don't want to say lo yadati lo ra'isin araya, but I know what the Megillah Sester says about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, because it's very famous Megillah Sester that the Satmar Rebbe made very famous, and others. He says because it doesn't apply to Zman Hazeh because of the Gimel Shuos, it only applies when the Mashiach comes. That's his defense of the Rambam. There are those who want to. I think the Avnei Nezer explains that the Rambam, the mitzvah of Kibush Ha'aretz, includes within it the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam does have a mitzvah harsh and authority shatan ba, or some wiping out the seven nations. Maybe he counts it in that mitzvah, and that's why the Rambam doesn't count it as a separate mitzvah. But I would be surprised for anybody to say that because it's so obvious the Rambam doesn't count it. You know, but the Ramban explains why the Bahag doesn't count Anochi Hashem Elokech as a mitzvah is not because belief in God is so obvious, but because it's a sine qua non for all the other mitzvahs. But I can't imagine that anyone could defend the Rambam on the basis of, oh, well, it was so obvious he didn't need to say it. Now, if that were the case, if there were 10 mitzvahs that were so obvious, the Rambam should have counted 603 and said, and the other 10, you all know what they are because they're obvious. I don't need to tell you. But in other words, it's hard to imagine that obviousness in itself is a criteria for omission. Inclusion within another mitzvah is a more logical argument.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So that's where the Rambam comes out. The Rambam certainly does seem to assume that the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah is only midrabanan. He doesn't cast them in the mitzvahs. In no way does he suggest it's d'oraisa. Certainly, Rabbi Lookstein, all the other Birchas HaMitzvah are in fact only d'rabanan. It's reasonable to assume the simple interpretation of the Rambam is he regards this Gemara as an asmachta. And the obligation, according to the Rambam, Birchas HaTorah, is only rabbinic. And that's why the Rambam, in his Minyan HaMitzvos, and that's why the Chinuch, who follows the Rambam's Minyan HaMitzvos, the last mitzvah in the Sefer HaChinuch, is in Parshas Vayelech of writing a Sefer Torah. There is no mitzvah in Parshas Hazinu of Birchas HaTorah. But if he had been following the Ramban, we would have gotten at least another parsha out of it. Okay. Any questions so far? Any other questions? Okay, so moving on, and this may surprise you briefly for a moment what we're about to say. Amar of Yehuda, and most Rishonim have Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Some even have just Amar Shmuel. But let's say Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Safek kara kriyashma, safek lo kara, eno chozer v'kare. Supposing you don't remember, you're not sure whether you read kriyashma or not. Now, I know this sounds a little strange. But imagine that you're in shul and you're thinking about a very important katzos or chayim that you were learning before davening in davening, and in the middle, like you say Ava Rava, and then like you tune out and you're thinking about that Rav Chaim catches you, the chazan gets to Hashem Elokeichem Emes, and you don't know, did I actually say Kriya Shema? Because I can say Kriya Shema without thinking. And I was really busy thinking about Reb Chaim during Kriya Shema. Or was I so focused on that I actually didn't say Kriya Shema? And when the Chazan says Hashem Elokeich Hames, he shakes me out of my reverie. And now it's like, wait, did I say Kriya Shema or did I not say Kriya Shema? Okay. So otherwise you're wondering, how does a person have a suffix whether they said Kriya Shema or not? Particularly, especially in the morning. You know, at night, if you're very tired, you might scratch your head, did I daven Maariv tonight? Which presumably we had Kriya Shema with it. But in the morning, most of the time, it's hard to imagine, well, did I read Kriya Shema or not? So Shmuel says, you don't have to go and read Kriya Shema, which immediately should strike you as odd. If Kriya Shema is a Torah obligation, and you're not sure whether you fulfilled it or not, we should have said, Sveika d'oraisa l'chumra, when in doubt about a Torah obligation or Torah prohibition, we're supposed to be stringent, which means by a mitzvah saseh, an active mitzvah, you have to do it again. So now he continues and says, Safek amar emes v'yatzis, safek lo amar chozer v'omer emes v'yatzis. But if you're not sure whether or not you said the bracha, the first bracha, after Shema, then you have to repeat. That's the bechoser. My time, says the Gemara. Why this distinction? Kriya Shema de Rabbanon, emes v'yatziv d'oraisa. Shmuel apparently holds that the obligation of Kriya Shema is only rabbinic in nature. The obligation of emes v'yatziv, that's a Torah obligation. And so immediately you have to ask, how is emes v'yatziv d'oraisa? I mean, it's a bracha. It may not be a Birchas HaMitzvah, but it's really ancillary to Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is the mitzvah, and going back to our previous discussion, the Rambam doesn't talk about what the Birchas HaTorah are and how to make them and when to make them in Hilchos HaTorah, but he does talk about everything about Birchas Kriya Shema is in Hilchos Kriya Shema. So you're telling me Emes V'yatzid is the Raisa, and Kriya Shema is the Rabbanan? There's a rabbinic expression that appropriately describes this, which is Yatsiva Biara V'Giyora B'Shmei Shmaya. Okay? Everything is upside down. How can this be? So the Gemara immediately chimes in. Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks Akasha. Normally Masiv or Meisvei is from a Mishnah, from a braisa, from a Tana Idik source. Here, Rav Yosef goes right to the original source. B'shah u'b'shach b'cha u'b'kumecha. It's a pasuk in the Torah. What do you mean? Kriya Shema is only the Rabbana. It says u'b'shach b'cha u'b'kumecha. So the Gemara says, Amar le'abaye, ha'hu b'devrei Torah. No, b'shach b'cha u'b'kumecha, if not the mitzvah Kriya Shema, it means that you have to learn a day and night some. Rabbeinu, Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah, quote Rabbeinu Yonah here, is explaining that the Torah here does not mock that you read Kriya Shema in the morning and night. If you want to read Kriya Shema in the morning and night, you would fulfill your mitzvah Talmud Torah. Ironically, that the Gemara Menachos, which I always joke, I think we're allowed to teach the Gemara Menachos talking about the mitzvah on Daf Sadi Testament days, talking about the obligation of Talmud Torah, the Gemara Menachos quotes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that if all you did was read Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis and Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, your Yotzei, but Dovar Zeh Osor LaOmro B'Fnei Am Ha'aretz, you're not allowed to say it in front of the uneducated masses because then that's all they'll do. But it's okay. Rava says you're allowed, it's a mitzvah to tell them because at least that way they'll read Kriya Shema. So ironically, this is an inversion of that. As opposed to saying, there's really a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema Min HaTorah, and if you do it, you always fulfill Talmud Torah. Here, there's a mitzvah Talmud Torah. But if you happen to recite Kriya Shema, so you'll be doing Kriya Shema, that's very nice, but it's really just a mitzvah Talmud Torah, as opposed to primarily being mitzvah Kriya Shema, but you also fulfill Talmud Torah with it. Okay. So that is the way the Gemara explains Shmuel's position, that Kriya Shema is the Rabbanan, Emes V'Yatsiv is the Raisa. Now, the Gemara doesn't look at the second half, but why is Emes V'Yatsiv the Raisa? On what grounds? So the answer is, because what does Emes V'Yatsiv talk about? A large part of it talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we know from the last Mishnah in the first parak that there's a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, certainly in the morning, Midoraisa, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, Harani kibim shirim shana, v'lo zachishi shite'ama Yetzias Mitzrayim leos, atche drosha ben zoma. And at least the Rambam Paskins like Ben Zoma, the Rush and the Riffitzin Zone, the Rambam Paskins that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at night is also Midoraisa. It's also Midoraisa. So that's what Emes V'Yatsiv is about. It's about Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Well, why don't you say with Kriya Shema?
Excellent question, Gary. That's the question that the Rishonim all ask. In other words, let me just kind of re-channel that question. I'm going to leave everybody hanging for the answer until next week, which is, what does it mean, Safek Amar Emes V'Yatsiv? Does it mean that you know you said Kriya Shema, but you don't know that you said Emes V'Yatsiv? But if that's the case, as Larry points out, the last parsha of Shema, the parsha of Tzitzis, ends, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeisi Eschem, Me'eretz Mitzrayim Liyosachem Elokim. Tzitzis Mitzrayim. And that's why, in Eretz Yisrael, the Ma'arava, the Gemara tells us, somewhere later, I think, or maybe we saw it already, actually, yeah, in the second parak, the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't hold that there was an obligation of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. They didn't hold there was an obligation to mention Mitzrayim at night. So you know what they did at night in Eretz Yisrael? They began by Daber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber O B'nei Yisrael V'yamar Tal Lehem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, it's a pasuk, I think, in Achrei Mos Kedoshim. And then they said some other prayer, they said some version of the third bracha. They didn't bother to recite the third parsha of Shema in Eretz Yisrael at night, because the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, they held, was not binding at night. So the question is, why not say Kriya Shema should be the Oraisa because of the third parsha at the very least? In other words, what Shmuel would be saying is that Kabbalah Samalcha Shemayim every day, accepting the yoke of heaven, which is the essence of what we think of Kriya Shema, that's not actually a Torah obligation. The Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is, but Larry's saying, yeah, but you do that when you read the third parsha of Shema. So the question really becomes, well, what happened with this person in terms of Kriya Shema? Did they recite Kriya Shema? Did they not recite Kriya Shema? If they did, then they already said the third parsha, then Emes V'Yatsiv is only the Rabbanan at this point, because you're already with Yotze. So that's something we're going to talk about next week. One other comment as well, I just want to point out here, and we'll see this when we read the next lines in the Gemara next week, is what is this discussion why is it here? You know, is Kriya Shema d'oraisa or not? You know, that I would have put that in the first parak on the first Mishnah. If you want to talk about Emes V'Yatziv, I would have put that in the first parak on the one of the last, not the second to last Mishnah, when they talk about B'shachar Mevarech Shtayim V'Fonei V'Achas L'Acharei. In the morning, you make two brachas before Kriya Shema, one afterwards. B'Laila V'Erev, you make two before and two after. That's where I would have discussed Emes V'Yatziv, in one of those places. So why is it here? So here, I'm going to leave you just with this one observation, which the Gemara is going to invoke in its discussion. Remember, we just read the Mishnah that said that a Balkeri is Maharher, and the way the Babli reads, Maharher Kriyashma Belivo. A Balkeri cannot utter the words of Kriyashma, but he can think the words of Kriyashma in his heart. But V'eina Mevarech lo lefanei v'lo laharel. Now, based upon the exact same type of proof that the Gemara brought several lines ago about Birchas HaMazon, that Birchas HaMazon afterwards is Midoraisa, but Birchas HaMazon before is the Rabbanon, based on the fact that the Balkeri does think Birchas HaMazon, but he doesn't think Birchas HaMotzi, the very same proof can be brought against Shmuel that the Mishnah says that a Balkeri does think Kriya Shema, but he doesn't think the brachos of Kriya Shema, which would suggest that Kriya Shema is the Raisa, but the brachos of Kriya Shema are only the Rabbanan. But we will pick up the Esos Hashem right here next week to hopefully finish this sugya and move on.
Rabbi, quick question.
Yes.
So just going back to the Birchas HaTorah topic,
mm-hmm.
Is it possible that that's really referred, because there's the use of the word is always HaKorei BaTorah there, in the Rambam, the Ramban, it's always Korei BaTorah as opposed to Talmud Torah. Is it possible that all of this is just referring to Kriyat HaTorah in Shul, and that there's a separate, and that which is all the Rabbanan, and which is just a separate mitzvah? I'm not sure if that solves any problems, but it just seems like we're not talking about Talmud Torah.
So the problem, I think, I have to spend a little time to work on that. At first glance, the answer is no. You're right, in the Gemara itself, they talk about a bracha afterwards. The only bracha we have afterwards, the Oraisa or the Rabbanon, whatever it is on Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. And the Ramban maybe could be read that way. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Tfilah that we read is talking about private Kriya.
It's not possible he's talking about a Baal Kriya who is in shul before he davens and he has to lane for the shul?
That, you know, Hamashkim Likro BaTorah. Kodem Tri Yisala.
Not everybody's a Baal Korah.
So the question I have to look at is I have to look at how the Rambam formulates things. Also, not in Hilchos Talmud Torah, but in Hilchos Kriya HaTorah, which is in Hilchos Tfilah. It's the latter part of it. It's a little later.
Right.
I have to look at his formulation there. As one could have argued for the Rambam that the bracha the Gemara is talking about is the bracha on Kriya HaTorah B'Tzibur, not on your private Talmud Torah. And that would be the one that would be the riser. The problem is that Kriya HaTorah itself, B'Tzibur, is only Midrabbanan. You know, unless you say that the Rambam is talking about Parshas Zachar, which I think the Rambam himself, by the way, does not hold as Doraisa. In other words, the mitzvah is Doraisa, but I don't think the Rambam holds that. He doesn't hold the Kriya as Doraisa. Or maybe the mitzvah of Hakel. But again, I have to look at how he formulates, that bracha. In other words, if I wanted to go down this road that you're going down, I would have had to say that the Rambam doesn't count Birchas HaTorah is a separate mitzvah because he holds that it's midoraisa, part of the mitzvah Hakel, which is the only Kriyas HaTorah that he might probably hold as doraisa. But I have to go digging to see what he says in those various places, if there's any hint of such a possible shita. Right? That would be the way of sort of escaping for the Rambam and him not having to read the Gemara Sasmachta, but you're correct. To not read the Gemara being about private Talmud Torah, but rather being about the bracha before Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, which the pshat, you're certainly correct, is that they talk about a bracha lachara.
Rabbi Weiss.
Good observation. Yes, Rosie.
So when they were learning Pesach, Moror, and Matzah, so they were doing it all night, Alel Shemarim, and they were about to do Shema. So they were learning that too, the halachot of Shema. I mean, it's really hard to decipher, you know, right before they went to say Shema. That's what I think.
Okay, but that's crossing two different questions. That's the mitzvah of Magid with the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, etc., versus
right.
Kriyas Ram Berachas HaTorah. That's a separate question. What did they do for Birchas HaTorah in the morning if they were learning all night? It's the same halachic problem we have for those who stay up all the Shavuot night.
Right. Are they equating Emes V'Yatziv and Be'emunah Kolzot? Because otherwise you're not saying Emes V'Yatziv twice. You don't say that at night.
So that question would depend upon whether or not you hold Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at night is midoraisa. Right? So that's the machlokes, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in the Chachamim, whether or not you have to mention, if you have to mention it at night. If you don't have to mention it at night, then this discussion, Shmuel's position would not apply to Emes V'Emunah, because he would agree Emes V'Emunah is only the Rabbanon, because everything's Rabbanon at night. If you were to hold, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at night is midoraisa, just like it is during the day, then Shmuel's comments would be equally applicable to Emes V'Emunah.
Thank you so very much. We'll speak. Try next.